Welcome to Bible Greek VPod's audio program. Join us as we take a look at the book of Numbers.
Move to chapter 18, and 18 moves back to the to the rules and laws, and there's a purpose for that, because obviously last time we saw the budding of Aaron's rod and that walking stick that was dead is now a living branch, and so those, it had all these blooms and buds and ripe fruit, and of course that rod was placed in the Ark of the Covenant, and it speaks of life, and that life being the rod that has life in himself, and that is Christ. But it was addressed after that terrible episode of Korah, and so today we continue that discussion of rules and laws because of the Korah episode, or the event that happened there. So let's look at this. Duties of priests and Levites, detailed so that they will understand, so the tribe of Levi will understand. Verse 1, then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. So look at that. They're to bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. That is the perversity or the iniquity or the guilt of those things related to the sanctuary, the holy place of God. So this is related to the Levites in particular. What do you do with those sins that are related to the sanctuary? And so he's about to spell out how this all works. And of course, this is because of that episode, the sins of Korah that happened in previous chapter. So now, only the Aaronic priesthood is a responsible moral agent that can and is able to take care of this, the issue, the holy place of God. So because of the sin of Korah, we have this defined again, and only a priest can properly approach God and be accepted. So we're going to see a few more things here related to that. So, but look at verse 2 and 3. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die. Wow. They and you also. Very, very tough. Wow. Death penalty is declared for improperly approaching God and handling his sanctuary, his holy things. So these are Levites are to be held responsible. Now, a priest serves as a mediator between God and man. And Christ, of course, is this last or final high priest and mediator. So we have this very exclusive thing that we have in, like, John 14:6. It says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So there is an exclusivity that Christ, the last high priest, follows through that is related to this type of thing, lest they die. And of course, Christ approaches the Father. Nobody comes to me or comes to the Father except through me. Very proper. Look at verse 4. Then they shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting for all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you. And you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that they may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Very strong, statement of how to approach God so that you don't have any more, that they will not, the Levites will have no more wrath. Not only on Levites, but the children of Israel. Look at verse 6. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren and the Levites from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Wow, they're a gift. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood, For everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. So that's a very important thing there. It's a gift. And it also speaks in New Testament that gift of life that that the Lord talks about in John 3:16. You know, it's a gift. Whoever believes may have life because he, that priesthood, that great high priest Christ, is that gift. And so I just find this astonishing. Here we have this priesthood is given to Israel as a gift. And it certainly speaks to Christ, who is a gift for us as this great substitute. But God provides. So the Levites workers, they're a gift, but also the priesthood. Priesthood is a gift for the nation. Look at verse 8. We move to offerings for support of the priests. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Here I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering, every sin offering, every trespass offering, which they render to me shall be most holy to you and your sons in a most holy place. You shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you." Look, hey, even in the most holy place you shall eat it. So these things are given to them. In fact, it speaks of these devoted things. Look at verse 11. This also is yours, the heave offering, the gift offering, all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I've given them to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. And of course, that speaks of somebody who has been ceremonially cleansed and that kind of thing. But these are devoted things. Look at verse 12. And all the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine, the grain, their first fruits, which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in your land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Every one who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Wow. That's quite a blessing, every devoted thing. And in verse 15, everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem, and those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. So they define what a shekel of the sanctuary is. In verse 17, but the firstborn of the cow, the firstborn of the sheep, or the firstborn of the goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. So that's interesting. So the so Levites are to continually be redeemed by paying the redemption price. I just find that fascinating because here is Christ and he is that final high priest and that whole idea of redemption tightly coupled there. Mm-hmm. Wow. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And their flesh shall be yours just as a wave breast and the right thigh are yours. So all of that is provided for them as a gift, if you wear everything that they have, except the proper offerings that are to go to the Lord as a sweet aroma. You know, and he talks about here, look at this verse 19, all the heave offerings and the holy things which the children of Israel offered to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever, as a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Wow, this is an everlasting covenant. It's called a covenant of salt. And obviously that's probably speaking in figurative terms, salt being preserver and everlasting, kind of a literary thing to say, yeah, it's everlasting. It's like salt, your preserver, salt. So I find that another very interesting thing because it is everlasting. Mm. Even we might find justification for a millennial temple from here as we have these offerings for the millennial temple. Of course, no temple in the new heavens and new earth because it time doesn't exist there, but this is forever. Forever being a time reference. So even in the millennium, you could make an argument that this is going to be satisfied. Look at verse 20. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. So there it is. What a blessing it would be to be the Lord's, to have the Lord as your portion. But what a burden. This is really a burden. And it's not material in nature. They don't have land and so forth. It's all eternal in nature. And it's not easy. Blood, sweat, and tears all over that. But it's very spiritually speaking much easier in a lot of aspects because they don't go to war. They don't go to do all fighting. They're taking care of the sanctuary and the things of God there, and daily blood, daily sins, and it reminds me of the burden that the modern day pastor has, or modern day church leader, where the burdens just get heavy. But now we move to the tithes and support of the Levites. So not only does everybody support the priests in their offerings, but now the Levites themselves have to provide a tithe. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes of Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. So they don't get a land portion, but they get this in tithe. In return, verse 22, there hereafter the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear the sin and die. So only a son of Aaron. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout their generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. So when we get to a millennial division of the land, it's apparent there too. It's amazing. Verse 24, for the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites, and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. A tenth of the tenth. That's what a tithe means, a tenth. So they get a tithe, but they themselves have to tithe. And so that idea continues even in the modern church, we don't tithe necessarily a tenth like they do. But even before the Mosaic Code, we had tithing going on. Mm-hmm. We find the Melchizedekian tithe kind of going on. It's neither here nor there. But yeah, we're not under this Mosaic tithe, but it's probably a good thing to do. You know, it's like the pastor. He's not under this Mosaic tithe, but it's probably a good principle that he tithe. Verse 27, and your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes, which you receive from the children of Israel. And you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. Of all your gifts you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord, from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore, you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat of any in any place, you and your households, for is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall bear no sin because of it. It's seen just like it, like it's the stuff on the threshing floor. Then you have lifted up the best of it, but you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. So even that is to be held in high esteem and handled properly. And just because they've received this offering, they are to also give the best of what they receive from a tithe as a tithe. Very, very, very cool stuff here. Very applicable. Any observations, comments, questions?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about the sacrificial system as it relates, you know, to the, in the New Testament. In terms of, you know, of course, Christ is our sacrifice, the sin offering, but then it says that we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, it's interesting that, that this is what you're talking about today, because this just keeps kind of keep on coming back to me.
Great.
In terms of just my own walk with the Lord, where I have to...
You're kind of reconciling all this. And
Yeah. And then like things that I'm struggling with, you know, to offer them as a sacrifice to the Lord, you know, I guess I'm just seeing it in a different way, where it's kind of affecting me spiritually, where, you know, you think I even as a Christian, I'm approaching God with blood, with the blood of Christ. I never want to come thinking, oh, well, that was in the past and my sins are forgiven, but now I'm, you know, I'm righteous in myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's always...
Yeah. It's daily. You approach him, it's based on the blood.
It
has to be.
And that consciousness. But this is what's occurred to me, and you tell me if you think I'm crazy, but there are things in us that need to die, right? And I think about, I'm coming to God and I'm sacrificing, and I'm saying, like my wife and I were talking about this the other day, like maybe you're, you know, in ministry and you're getting discouraged, and you say, I'm not going to let that dominate my thinking. I'm going to now sacrifice that to the Lord. I'm going to give that discouragement to the Lord and trust him with it, because that thing has to die in me. I cannot let that thing dominate, because I have before. I've had where, you know, Sunday doesn't go right, and you just, and like for two or three days after that, you're this heaviness, this discouragement. It's like, that's not getting me anywhere. That's not from God.
Right.
So what I'm learning to do is say, Lord, I feel that, but right now I give that to you. And in a sense, that thing has to die, because it's probably just pride or it's whatever, you know. And I have found when I do that, the Lord takes it, because I can't change my own heart.
Right.
I can't change my feelings, but I can choose to give it to the Lord as a sacrifice, whether it's, you know, whatever. And then, because the other thing that occurred to me, it's then that thing, whatever, could it be hindering my worship of the Lord? I'm so focused on myself and my pain and my... And if I
and
say...
And it may not even be you. It may be an attack...
Right.
Satanic attack.
Exactly.
But you're so I felt it. It was very personal on me.
Right. And yet the Lord is pleased. And he's saying, no, you're doing what I'm calling you to do, but but you're going through this season. You know, I was just listening to Pastor Chuck Smith today, and somebody sent me, said, you got to listen to this, you know, sermon. And I was working on real mindless stuff on the computers today. So I thought, well, I can listen to this because I can continue to work. But he was talking about how a season in his life as a pastor where he'd be ministering to 25 people and half the people were like trying to starve him, like withhold the tithe. It's like the church was just it's this tiny church. And he went for like many years, I don't know if you know his story, but like 17 years as a pastor and hit some really hard times until then the whole, you know, in the 60s and 70s, the whole Jesus movement and the revival in Calvary Chapel. But just to be able to say, Lord, whatever it is I'm going through, whether it's a temptation or it could be, you know, a focus on money or sex or anything that's blocking that worship of God. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I'm realizing. Like, what is it that's trying to keep me from worshiping? Because that's what I'm supposed to be doing, ministering to the Lord with sacrifice. Then you think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving and the you got the burnt offering. But I would just like to do a study of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the burnt offering, the sin offering. The burnt offering would be, I guess, like it's the whole animal that's being burnt up. And it's almost, and isn't that what, in Romans 12, it's a burnt offering. So I have never seen, I just felt that personal application like I have lately. So I appreciate this. This is
And it's a very like abstract thing.
It is.
And I don't, you know, we in the church don't often think about that deeply, and it's a good thing to meditate on.
It is.
Because like you say, it's like handing it over to the great mediator, because these guys have to give it to the priest.
Yes.
They
amen.
Give it to the priest, here's the sin,
that's
and
it.
The sin,
see,
and the priest goes in and takes care of it.
That's
and
good.
Deals with it.
Oh, that's good. You're giving it to Christ. See, it's not, you know, like I'm going to even directly with God and trying to figure all this out. You're just saying, Lord, here's my heart, you know, here's my life. And where is your, you know, the devil's trying to discourage you from following the Lord, where you just say, I give this thing to you, and I also just give myself afresh to you for whatever you want to do, whether that looks successful or it looks whatever, or if people are hurting me, or I am giving myself to you again, Lord. And then isn't that like a pleasing aroma to the Lord, see?
Yeah.
And it my wife and I have been talking about this, you know, the things we go through, we've got to keep our hearts pure.
Yeah.
And we've got to keep going to that sacrifice. And it seems like, it's a daily thing almost. But anyway.
I just can't imagine. I read about this missionary to India, and I just keep thinking about this poor missionary, 40 years or whatever he was down in India, not one convert, just bloody.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the discouragement?
I can't. And I've heard those stories. Oh, yeah. And yet they feel called. That's what I'm called to do.
They form the foundation.
Yeah.
And it says, God said, you know, it's going to be tough. You're not going to see any of it. They're out in the land. You're not going to see any of it.
Yeah.
But you're preparing the way. And without your critical, if you weren't there, it wouldn't be prepared.
Right. So who's going to get the
you
reward?
Started your church in Grapevine.
Right.
You know, who knows what it'll be.
Who knows, like somebody in my church I'm ministering to right now, you know, could be the next Billy Graham or something. You don't, you know, we try to judge things, you know, in human terms.
Yeah, in our society, American society, human terms.
Right, right. And yet, God calls us to obey him, whether it's, some obscure place in India or some, and then when God sorts it all out in the end, you know, who gets the reward? Is it the guy who had the mega church that maybe not, you know, maybe it is that.
Maybe that mega church is just empty.